WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is a funny tape.
A difficult thing to do, which is to kick an addiction. And
you
I was touched by her.
Turkey.
I did. It wasn't easy, but I quit drinking. I had too much to drink one night, and the next night I didn't have any. Next day, and I decided to quit and haven't had a drink since 1986.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm a better man for it, and it's hard for me to speculate, but I doubt I'd be standing here if I hadn't quit drinking whiskey and beer and wine and all that.
The Don Whiskey. And Mike Show.
All you want. How about him, huh?
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Fancy digs you got here.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
You're a goddamn thief!
They poke the bear. Don and Mike.
That's funny.
Liquor.
The whole thing about it, I don't drink and then he starts to list them.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be here today if I had to stop drinking whiskey and a beer, wine, and Coke.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello. I don't know what it is. How much is it?
Well, our lady's buying something, I guess.
You said we're charging for the plate.
Hello.
Lady? Do you think you're calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline?
Hello.
Hello.
Ma'am, are you there? What can we do for you?
Don and Mike Show. How's it going in the checkout line?
I'm at the DMV.
DMV? Oh, you're at the DMV. Why are you calling us?
In Manassas, Virginia. Then I'm going to go to the Look Around Cafe.
Oh, very good.
Thanks. Look Around Cafe.
Ask for our DMV special.
I want to tell you that from the time I was 4 until 14, I went up to, and during the summer, Carl Schwarzenegger's Pleasant Valley Inn in Kingston, New York, and his wife, Mary Schwarzenegger. They ran a resort up in New York.
Yeah.
And his uncle, Carl, was big, buff, beautiful, brainy, and forever tanned, and like 100 times more attractive than Arnold. My question, has Arnold Schwarzenegger ever been found to have used steroids, or you know anything about that?
I think it's pretty well documented. Either,
pretty
right?
Pretty well known. I mean, it's just assumed that he did.
I like the way you say his name, though. Would you say his last name again?
Who?
Arnold. Arnold.
Schwarzenegger.
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 It means Black Forest.
It means Black Forest. Black Forest. Very good. Thank you.
I got to go.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Bye-bye.
I know you do. Good luck with that license.
Kisses. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. She didn't give me a chance to tell her what our DMV special is. The food is exactly the same, but we make you wait longer for it. Thank you, Rob. I'm here all week.
DMV actually stands for Dirty Muddy Vaginas.
I've been in that DMV she was calling from many, many times.
I'm at the special at your place tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That's the DMV special.
Of course it is. Yum, yum.
Hi there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to cheer in your new league as the Jacksonville Janet Renos.
Are you doing a Janet Reno impression?
Yes, he is, and it's killing, Mike.
Hmm.
It's killing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm dying right now.
Hi there. Donaldo y Miguel. Hello, those are our names in Spanish.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's this list going to affect my world of comedy? Happened to Carrot Top.
Boy, on so many levels. And then it's an agenda. Then it's a Shecky. Then it's a junior Shecky.
I didn't even get what he was saying.
Because Carrot Top is all buff now. So he's doing a little Carrot Top steroid humor. And I'm really, really embarrassed that I just explained the joke.
That's not funny.
Not funny at all. And you didn't pick up the phone. You didn't answer the phone when we said hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Right, yeah. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Jesus. What is the delay?
I believe it's his B-R-A-I-N. I'm R-I-G-H-T about this.
Wow.
He's D-U-M-B.
Unbelievable. Uh-huh. Truly spectacular.
Thanks for the call, though.
Spectacular.
Driving, voting, and reproducing.
Happy holidays. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I actually have a question for Buzz.
How can I help?
I was just thinking, like, you have a very, I'm sorry, I can't talk.
Submit your... That is the new trend.
Submit your question in writing.
That is the new trend.
I can't
I'm so panicking that I'm just going to hang up. Because I've got Christmas shopping to do.
I guess.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Shut up. I want to move on.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how about Tyson biting off Holyfield's ear? What do you think Wilbon and Kornheiser will say about it?
Are you calling from a time warp from 10 years ago?
I believe he's trying some sort of joke.
We're talking about current sports events. Michael Vick. Eject.
Oh, no, 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 no.
It's an epidemic. That's unacceptable, too.
I like that. No, no, no. No, no, no.
No.
Not fair. Totally unfair to us.
And to those listening.
Yeah, so let's, you're a charming host.
Let's change the topic for Uno Momento.
Mm-hmm.
First, my dog, I got to tell you, I felt so bad for my dog, Blue.
Yes. Does he
lick his nasty? We talked yesterday about Doug Tract.
Yes.
And I got a couple of emails from people asking if we were serious.
Yeah, I'm glad that made the front page. You know, you sit there and you did a bit about me wanting a job 2 weeks ago, and you know, I didn't see any evidence of it. But you know, old Dougie gets the front page there. You know, okay. I was really hoping that the next time if we have to talk about my situation, I hope I can get that front page spot.
Are you talking about a Rupert site?
Yeah, on Rupert's site, absolutely. I saw that it was the quote was front page for him, and then some people reacted, I think, the wrong way towards it. You know, they said that it was like. You know, he doesn't need help or anything. All we were being was complimentary.
Listen, right. In the year 2008, you know, when we get back from our break, from our generous Johnny Carson break, it would be great, we are serious about that, about having the Grease Man on the show. If he would like to get his feet back in the radio business, this is not charity. The guy is incredibly talented, and the face of radio stinks. And friend, really... I'm feeling frantic about this because the more I look at this guy, and I saw him when I pointed out to Rob on his website, with the guy's face, I mean, the guy has an intensity and a passion for radio. And if we're going to give these baseball players, for instance, 1,000, you know, free passes and say what happened, you know, the guy said some stupid stuff.
Right.
My God, he's done the mea culpa tour. He makes Imus look like Imus was not repentant at all for what he said.
Yeah, and he went all over the place and spent a good few months dealing with that situation.
I mean, that poor bastard went to like an all-black church in Southwest. Pretty much
he worked with Rock Newman. I remember that when he was going around doing press conferences way back when.
Threw himself on the mercy of anyone who would listen.
Right.
So, yeah, we'd like to see if we can help Grease Man get back on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the show would be, I think, a good place for him to get some exposure. If you'd like to come in and hang out, talk with some of his fans,
right?
Do some radio with us, and then it would be ideal. It would be a pleasure. It'd be a wonderful. Just think, it would be a nice move if he took over the show. It just showed the radio industry, or more importantly, the people here in Washington D.C., what this cat can still do behind a microphone.
Absolutely.
So let's give him that shot.
Very good.
Anyway, we're serious about that, and. About you, Mike, since you opened that whole can of worms.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you meeting tomorrow with Dan the Savior?
I believe I have a scheduled meeting with the president of our corporation, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
I only refer to him like that because I saw him refer to that in paper.
Ah, that's a good thing.
Well, paper.
I echo those sentiments,
at least
until our meeting tomorrow.
He's the Savior. Of CBS Radio.
I could not agree more.
Mm-hmm.
I know Buzz shares my opinion of that. We all feel, Rob, I know you feel the same
way. We're believers.
I know, Don, you have to feel the same way. I believe that, you know, we're all very enthusiastic about this tomorrow. Yeah. Looking very, very much looking forward to it. It's going to be a wonderful chance for me to meet him for the first time. I know you've met him before. You've known him for a very long time, but I'm looking forward to chatting with the guy. And the interesting thing, I'm just chock full of questions.
I'm sure.
Chock full of questions, and hopefully I'll have some answers.
Like what kind of questions?
Just, tiny little things.
Like what?
My future. you know.
Like that.
Buzz's future, Rob's future, things like that. Simple, simple questions.
He'll want to talk about the weather.
Mm-hmm. I can do that, too.
He'll ask you what your favorite radio station of all time is. Got to come up with the right answer there.
The right answer?
Yeah.
Not the honest answer?
The right answer.
The right answer,
any
of course,
station you program, Dan.
No, the answer would be the old WGAY. Thank you, Rob.
That's a great station.
It was well-programmed. It was consistent.
I know you said this off the air,
mm-hmm,
but I think you should go in smelling of alcohol, wearing that Santa suit that you have in the car.
You know, I've got it, and I got it for the kids' party that I'm doing Saturday, I'm really, really looking forward to maybe knocking back a flavor of alcohol I normally don't drink, gin.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Really warm, shots of warm
that oozes,
gin.
That oozes out of your skin, doesn't it?
That is something I think you can drink immediately and get the smell of day-old Bender.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just go in and really, and use the Santa voice that I've used on this show, too. You know, where it's just like, yeah, so this is headquarters. And then really, if I could time it, you know, just to maybe vomit at the right time.
Maybe lots of character voices.
Sure. Yeah, that's
slipping
that's exactly
in
what I'll do. That's
character.
Exactly what I'm planning on doing.
I know, and Uncle Cartoon is curious about what lies ahead.
Oh, and imagine the sweating that'll happen there.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, well, you'll tell us tomorrow, I'm sure.
I will give you a complete update. I'll let you know how it went.
My dog, when I got home from work last night, I felt so bad for this animal. Janet was out doing stuff, and the dogs were at home by themselves, and he has an Afghan that he sleeps on his little doggy bed.
Alive or dead?
I don't know. It's a blanket.
Oh, a blanket. I thought you were talking about the other
Afghan
kind of dog.
Hound,
you know? Another breed of dog.
No, like an Afghan.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Like a sweater or a throw.
Of course. I'm kidding, of course.
Like a little blanket.
Right. A little Afghan.
You should tell that to Dan tomorrow.
Yeah, just demonstrate that I am the king of funny.
Just say, hi, Dan, I'm Mike. I'm funny.
I'm a funny. Well, no, what I really was going to do was steal the Rickles song, where I walk in and I go,
nice,
I'm a nice guy. But anyway, it's a little blanket that your dog is sleeping on.
Yeah, and it's this thing that was, you know, crocheted.
Right.
And on his dog collar are the various extra tags, like for vaccinations, and the tag that says where he lives and everything. And one of those tags somehow got tangled up in the Afghan that he sleeps on his doggy bed. So when I got home, it looked like World War III had broken out. And I walked in the dorm like, what did you dogs do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the little one, Oscar, he comes from around the corner. And, you know, dogs have this innate sense to look at you.
Right.
And, like, the little bulldog looks at me. And right away, he's got a happy look like, I didn't do anything.
Right. They're communicating.
But boy, is this place a mess. Am I glad you're here, Dad?
Right.
Boy, am I glad you're here.
Uh-huh.
I go around the corner. I say, where's your brother? Come here, Clink. What's going on? And what had happened was this thing had gotten attached to his collar.
Yeah.
When he got up, it was like he was wearing a cape. And
he didn't like it.
And as he had walked through the house and I guess tried to shake himself.
Shake it off.
He had knocked pictures off off a little stand.
So he really didn't like wearing it at all.
When I got to the kitchen, we have the dog bowls for the little dog. His bowls are on the floor, and Clink's bowls are slightly elevated.
Raised up in the little bowl holder that they have, right?
Right. Well, they got that thing was turned upside down, and his food and his water.
So it's like putting a dog in like a costume that a dog doesn't want to wear,
Mike,
and he goes bananas.
He looked at me when I finally saw it, and again, that's why I love dogs so much. The little one looks at me like, hey, I didn't do anything, and then I turn around the corner, and as soon as I see Clink, he gives me a look that's like, don't get mad at me. I couldn't figure out how to get this.
Was it still hanging off of him?
Yeah.
See, then he gets the free pass.
It's hanging off of him.
He gets the free pass in that
case. And as it's hanging off of him, I realize, what am I smelling?
Oh, no.
And Janet has bought.
His stress goes right to his stomach.
No, it's not that. Janet has bought a lot of, like, jams and stuff for Christmas time, and some of them.
What kind of artists? Good musical artists, or
no, like jams and jellies.
Oh, jams and jellies. Oh, okay.
I thought
it was like P. Diddy or something.
These were sitting on a table in the kitchen, and I guess as he had walked by, more one of these little jars had broken.
So he went absolutely berserk with this thing attached to him.
It had to be. I figured I left yesterday, like at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Jan had left before me yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. He had got to be, at the minimum, 2 or 3 hours of walking around with this thing.
And he hated it. You know when a dog is desperate to get something off, when they really don't like a mask or a hat that you're putting on them, and they go nuts. And this is one he couldn't shake. And nobody had put it on him.
No.
So it maybe confused him even more.
And it had to flip him out. And you could just see as you walked from the front door to the kitchen, to the family room, to the dining room,
I love dogs,
to the little middle area. All he did all day was walk in circles.
Wow. Shaking this thing.
And make paths of destruction.
Knock stuff over. Because
it was attached to him.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, that dog, I love that dog. And he's a bit, you know what, I would describe Clink as a bit gangly, right?
Yeah.
Clink's all legs.
Uh-huh.
Clink is all big, long legs.
He is 12 years old now. Mm-hmm. That's way old for a dog. He's like 70,
he's
80.
Pretty energetic for 12 years old,
yeah,
right?
He has arthritis and stuff.
Oh, does he? Okay.
He can still,
84.
He can still jump up. Wow. He can still, you know, scratch on the door when he wants to come in.
Very good.
Clink is a magnificent dog, the friendliest German Shepherd, and just sweet and great around kids. But when he gets close in and wants to, like, cuddle or you pet him, he handles himself like a small dog.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't realize he's, you know, the size of a Volkswagen.
Most big dogs are like that. They don't control. They're like adolescents, you know. They can't control their extremities. And some people, you know, carry it into adulthood also. But dogs are crazy like that.
But he's a great dog.
He is. Anyway, it's funny. If I had used my brain, I would have taken a picture with my phone of him. But I was so concerned with.
But I'm glad to see it didn't manifest itself in any diarrhea.
You're
like
lucky,
the Japanese girls sing about.
You're lucky that he didn't shake that blanket off, because then you would have no idea what happened.
Yeah, you think he was just a.
You think he's losing his mind.
I think I would have noodled it through.
And Oscar's the bulldog, right?
Right.
And then Oscar has a very expressive face as well.
That's what I'm saying. His face, when I got home, was a combination of smile, I'm glad to see you, and also, I did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right. It wasn't me.
You're going to be mad, and I did nothing.
It's good. Well, you're very nice to your dogs. You are. You're very sweet to your dogs.
Goddamn, they are sweet.
And I go hot and cold with Carla's dog. I should say our dog.
Yes, you should.
Our dog, Beluga. Hot and cold. Our dog, eat everything that's got any Christmas connection with it whatsoever, Beluga. Food hangover, Beluga. Stagger around the house because you ate 700 chocolate-covered pretzels last night, Beluga.
Well, that's going to kill it.
Yeah. Yeah, but,
dogs just can't eat chocolate, right?
I was getting along great with this dog. I was getting along supremely well with this dog until this dog took a left turn, and it all has to do with food. And maybe it was my fault, because a couple of times we cooked a turkey a few weeks ago, and I handed him little pieces of turkey. I think that swung him, and now it's all about food. I know dogs love to enjoy people food, but I cannot, at a certain point, I cannot abide that any time there is any food going into a human being's mouth in my house, that I have to look at those little gremlin eyes of his staring at me every, no matter where he is. If I'm going to cook food.
Slow down, Michael Vick.
He gets up.
Slow down, Mike.
It's just, he's in this absolute, this is like a crack addict. He's in this people food frenzy, and it's probably my fault.
You've driven him to this, right?
I have been. Carla does not give him people food. I give him people food occasionally, and now he's just out of his mind. Out of his mind. You know, it's 1 point on Weight Watchers for a Tootsie Roll Pop, right? Okay. So if I'm staying on my points, which I do once every month, I will have a Tootsie Roll Pop right before bed. Right. And occasionally I will put it right before bed. I will put it, you know, the wrapper and the little stick next to the, you know, on the vanity, right next, not the vanity, the nightstand. I'll put it on the nightstand, and he mangles it in his attempt to get, you know, whatever tenth of an ounce of sugar that he can get off of this thing.
Would it kill you to throw it away?
I would. You know what? I do now because it's right next to the nightstand. Right. I'm in bed and I'm tired, and I don't want to walk across the whole room to where the trash can. It's a little lazy move on my part, but you know. And then you just hear the. little pug pushed in face. And I love him, but he's driving me nuts right now.
I'm used to that noise with Oscar because I had not had a bulldog before.
It's their breathing because their face, by God, has been mashed in. They're not able to breathe properly.
The great thing about this little bulldog is that we don't have to, you know, we spend nothing on toys for this dog.
This is an English bulldog, right?
Yeah, okay. Because he will play literally with an old vitamin jar. The other day, Janet said, "You want to see the toy that I got for Oscar?" And I said, "I got another toy?" Because we do have like a gazillion dog toys.
Right.
And she said, "No, look at this. It's that envelope that FedEx delivered today. Come here, Oscar." And seriously, he is so goddamn funny. He picks this big envelope up in his mouth, and he walks to the side of the room, and he goes,
"Hey, that's it. That's good." Is he obsessed with people food at all?
Only because she feeds him all the time.
She feeds him. Does he stare at you when you're eating food all the time?
See, he knows Daddy doesn't give him that stuff.
Right? Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So it doesn't bother you at all?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No payoff.
I'm going to work at it over the Christmas break. Just work at it a little bit because it's really just starting to irritate me.
You know, Janet has a problem. A lot of people do with the dogs. If we're sitting at the table eating and generally speaking, the bulldog will sit on this little nook area in our kitchen and Clink will sit on the floor when we're having our meals. Well, every once in a while, Oscar will slide over by Janet and will put his nose up on the table. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, she will go, no, don't do that. And then every once in a while she goes, "Oh, isn't he cute?"
Mm-hmm.
Then she gives him something to eat.
Right. That's it. You've ruined it right there.
And then I say to her, "Hey," and she looks at him and she says it just like this. "Aren't you a bad boy for eating from the table?"
That's right.
You know, because she doesn't have the heart.
Yeah, she's saying bad words, but she's saying in a tone. And that's what you can do to a dog. Right. You can say in a horrible tone, you can say, "You are the most beautiful dog I've ever seen. I love you. I love you." And the dog will think you're mad at
him. I used to, my God, Frida would get so mad at me when we had our dog, Brandy. Remember the dog that was deaf?
Yes, that's right. Hello, dog.
The deaf and going blind, this poor setter.
Very, very sick.
Towards the very end, when she would just do everything she could possibly do, could not decide if this dog wanted to go inside or outside, we would leave every door wide open.
Plus the incontinence, I remember.
Yeah. We're freezing, and there's dog crap everywhere, and this dog would stand in between the porch and inside the house.
Right.
And I would walk up to this dog. This is so awful. And we could go back and go, "Hi there. Are you the dumbest dog in the world? You're so stupid. You're so stupid you don't even know we're inside and outside."
And the dog is wagging its tail.
Yeah, sure. And she would look at me like, "How can you do this?" "You are just the dumbest." And really, more than one time I said, "Oh, you know what Daddy's going to do someday? Daddy's going to leave the back door open, and you can just run and run and run, and don't ever come back." And
run away.
And Brandy would look at me like, "Oh, I love you so much."
It's all about the tone.
Right.
I haven't met a dog yet that can speak proper English. Never in my life. Well, I'm going to give Beluga some treats over the holiday, maybe some Xanax or something like that, you know. No, I'm not going to do that, no. But it would be nice to have him just chill out a little bit.
I think you can solve it with one word.
What's that?
Tabasco.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, though.
Let her have all the food he wants.
No, I don't
just
want
fix
to
it.
That's torture. That's torture.
Is it?
Yes. Do you have a dog in your house yet?
No, I'm allergic.
Oh, you're allergic to is that true, or are you just saying that
I'm
to your
allergic
kids?
To everything but cats and horses.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a cat?
No. I tell them I'm allergic to cats.
Just a horse.
The kids are all getting horses, though, for Christmas.
All ponies. I've been there.
Still or not?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
There you go.
Yeah, whatever happened to that pony Hershey?
She got rid of it.
You bought for the girls.
She got rid of it. Yeah.
Oh, the plaintiff?
Yeah, she gave it away, I think. Or sold it. I'm not sure. Or sold it back to the guy. Uh-huh. I'm not sure where it went.
Too much begging from the table?
I'm not. Well, it's a pain when you have them in your house. Yeah. Now, you want to talk about a dog having an accident, but a horse does it.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
Do you remember that time we called those people that we found in the National Enquirer? The picture said, crazy family, has horse living in house, eats at the table with them.
It was like a pet. They had a horse as a pet.
Right. It was great. It was when the National Enquirer wasn't just totally focused on Brad Pitt.
Celebs, yeah.
When they would put the oddities out there
they
for
had
us.
The oddity. And these were people that legitimately had a horse that slept in the house at night. Did it sleep in the house, or maybe that was the one thing it didn't do?
They fed the horse a piece of spaghetti while we were on the telephone, and we heard the horse go.
Do you remember we did a follow-up with them about 18 months afterwards, and they would only do the interview for money?
Oh, that's right. Oh. Yeah. After they got to the big time because...
Well, it costs a lot of money to feed a horse.
It does.
I mean, when you're going to feed it people food.
And they started making... I think it was... Maybe it was back when Craig Kilborn was doing The Daily Show, that once they were on our show and a couple other radio shows,
right.
TV shows started calling. We wanted to do a follow-up, but it was like, we don't do any appearance for less than $200 because we're the family that lives with a house.
They were in dire straits. They were in dire straits when they tried to take the horse to the Olive Garden because it was part of the family, and they got in big trouble for that. But they were legitimate when we had those people. Yeah. I really liked those people.
The Olive Garden.
All the breadsticks you want.
And what if it was like back in ye olden Western times, you know, the unlimited haystack at Olive Garden.
And all the oats you want.
Sugar cubes.
That's right. When you're here, you're like a thoroughbred. Enjoy yourself.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.